Hey, everybody. Welcome to Movie Crush, Mini Crush.
Yeah. Yeah, what he said. Sorry, I'm focused on this delicious Asiago bagel that I have.
Whoa.
I know, right?
Is that what I smell?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That looks good.
Yeah. I'm sorry, man. I didn't mean to bring food into the containment area, but I had to do it, dude. I had to.
No, here's the deal, everyone. They're bringing in breakfast for us one day a week now, which is very nice. And they're bringing in sometimes breakfast sandwiches, sometimes bagels and danishes and the like, pastries. And when they bring in bagels, they are not bringing in everything bagels.
It's true.
Man.
It's a bummer.
It's the king of all bagels.
It's the quintessential bagel. It's the perfect bagel. It's the everything bagel.
God. I need to talk to somebody about that.
Surely you have some pull with the bagel team.
I mean, in the meantime, at the end of the day, there's like 7 whole wheat bagels just sitting there.
Yeah, and cinnamon raisin.
Nobody likes
people
that.
People aren't into that either.
No one wants that shit.
Mm-mm. No.
All right. So.
What do you got, Chuck? What do you got?
Well, I got a couple of announcements, a little business housekeeping. Just got back from California. Went out there to sort of a little mini vacation, which I don't take many vacations. Many vacations. So in this case, I took a mini vacation. My friend PJ got married to a lovely woman named Anna, who I just met at the wedding. I do not know Anna very well, but she seems great. And PJ is an old friend of mine from California in my LA days. And seated at my table, this is in Santa Barbara. So Emily and I went to wine country.
Oh, beautiful.
We rode horses through a vineyard.
Dude, sounds like a really nice mini vacay.
Oh, man, it was great. Stayed at a super swank place in Santa Barbara and like laid by the pool. And I was like, man, I'm going to check out at least on some of these days. I had to do a little work, but I really made myself just lay there and look at the pigeons by the pool.
The famous pigeons of Santa Barbara?
No, at one point I lay there for like an hour just watching these pigeons jumping around in the pool.
Is that the same as the swallows of Capistrano?
I think so.
Yeah, okay.
Pigeons of Santa Barbara.
Yeah.
They poop Cabernet. So long story short, the reason I'm mentioning this on this show is because PJ is a connected LA dude. And seated at my wedding table, at my dinner table, were Will Forte. Yes, Noel's. Just Sorry. Choked on his bagel.
Oh, my God. I love him so much.
I do, too. And Sean Gunn, the actor, and an agent from ICM, like an agent.
Yeah.
Who?
A big shot.
A very funny guy. And I was like, man, you're not the talent. Like, I'm sure he's done, like, stand-up in his life. He's very funny. Yeah. He told a really great story about Yoko Ono and being in John Lennon and Yoko's apartment, which—
I bet that was a— The sight to behold.
It was pretty great. So long story short, again, I'm going to look for these people on the show. Sean Gunn actually owns a house here in Atlanta because he shoots here a lot. And I've already corresponded with him. He's coming in toot sweet. And Forte, I'm going to have to get hooked up with for a later date in L.A. But I did make contact with the agent. And I thought listeners would get a kick out of hearing about what an agent does and what his job is like on a day-to-day basis. So I'm going to get him on my next LA trip too. But I'm happy to report that Will Forte is a wonderful human being. And as he went around introducing himself to the table, like walked around and shook hands with everyone, everyone was just saying hi, hi. And I said, listen, man, I'm a big fan. I know that's probably not cool to say seated at your wedding table, but I'm not going to be a problem. Don't worry. Mm-hmm. And he came around a minute later and grabbed me and he said, hey, man, he said, I really appreciate that. He said, It's never not cool to tell someone that you like what they do, and that means a lot to me. Thank you.
What a sweet guy.
How about that?
Mm-hmm.
He was a very sweet guy.
He seems like it.
Yeah, just the best. So that was fun. I had a great time, man, partying with Will Forte. Also, Noel.
Wait, Sean Gunn's related to James Gunn, right?
Yeah, it's his brother.
Yeah, okay.
And Sean's been an actor for a long time. He was in the Gilmore Girls years ago. He was in Guardians. He was part of that crew of sort of redneck henchmen.
That's right. That's funny. He was great. Yeah.
And he's been a lot of stuff. But Sean's a great guy, too. And he lives in Atlanta now, kind of part-time, which is awesome. So, Noel, the casting papers was very divisive.
Really?
Yeah. A lot of people hated it. I think that was partially on me. I think I set it up a little too salaciously.
Right.
Like, oh, get ready. And it really was just a little more of a fun inside peek.
Well, you know.
Then I think I trumped it up a little too much as
Are you saying people on the internet were displeased with something, Chuck?
No.
Is that what you're saying? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, but I'm partially to blame here. So a lot of people did enjoy it. So if you didn't like it, I'm sorry. We're doing the best we can here.
It's true.
Just trying to throw out some different content. And what else did I have in here? Oh, Noel. Well, a quick thanks to Jamie Hart. Remember when I was talking, we were talking about the poker trope? Card up the sleeve.
Oh, yeah.
That was Solo that I was thinking of. Remember, I couldn't think of the movie that I'd just seen?
Well, that's because that movie was the most forgettable movie of all time.
Oh, it is pretty forgettable.
I mean, like, it was gone from my head the moment I walked out of that theater.
Yeah, you're like, Han Solo, who even is that?
Who even is that? Harrison Ford?
So, oh, by the way, I saw when I was in L.A., I was in my old neighborhood in Los Feliz having some outdoor lunch at Fred 6-2, and a guy walked by with a Chewbacca coat, like you know, it was a big fuzzy coat with the thing across his chest.
The bandolier, is that what it's called?
I don't know.
The thing with the whatever, it's like energy gun cartridges, but it's sort of like the kind of thing you'd see like a dude with bullets strapped around.
Yeah. But he was wearing this just walking down the street, a big fuzzy Chewbacca coat.
It seems a little warm.
Well, it was, but it's LA. People there are weird.
Yeah, that's fair.
You never know what you're going to see.
I'm going to LA soon.
Oh, yeah?
A couple different times, yeah.
For work?
For work.
Where are you going?
Just, you know, to our studios up there.
Yeah.
Doing some interviews and then going to some kind of big conference, like the Summit Conference. It's like a bunch of makers and weird startup entrepreneur guys and things.
Oh, yeah?
You know, people like the dude that created Cirque du Soleil and Jeff
Bezos. What are you doing there?
I'm going to hobnob. I'm going to, you know, hey, man, I've got clout. I've been on Movie Crush. I've been on a proper episode of Movie Crush. I'm now officially, like, in the scene.
You like L.A.
I like L.A. Yeah, I do. Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's one of those cities where it really depends on who you know and where you go. If you go to the wrong place, it can be a real drag, and it's like kind of like,
sure,
you know, strip mall city in certain areas. But like,
yeah,
there are parts of it that are lovely, and if you know the right people and know the right places to go, it's really can be a lot of fun.
East side of Hollywood, and that's all you need to know.
That's true. See? Pro tip.
Yeah. So I had a great time. You know, I was there with Emily, and that's where we fell in love. And so anytime I go to LA with her, we have a great time. Nostalgia kicks in, and we're like, could we live here again? And then usually by the end of the trip, we're like, no, of course not. It's just nice to come back. All right. You know, weed's legal there now, Noel.
I didn't know that. I don't know what that even is.
I got a couple of recommendations for you.
Okay. We'll talk.
All right. So, Solo, poker trope. Thank you to Jamie Hart on the internet for naming that movie. And also shout out to Don Morris and Zach Pointer for also chiming in and yelling in their cards at me, supposedly. It's Solo is what you're thinking. Even though it wasn't poker, that was definitely the movie I was thinking. Now, Noel, I would like briefly for you and I to talk about a little something that we went to, although not together, the wonderful, wonderful Utopia tour.
Oh, yeah.
Of David Byrne.
Well, I guess we should start off by talking about the Jonathan Demme concert film Stop Making Sense.
Yes.
Which we've talked about before.
Yeah, I mean, one of the greats.
It's one of the greats. The show itself lends itself so well to that kind of treatment because it progresses over time. It starts with David Byrne walking on stage with like a boombox,
yeah,
and the guitar, and he does Psycho Killer, and then they gradually build the company, you know, uh-huh, the set or whatever,
which, yeah,
is the players. And then they'd incorporate all these amazing choreography and lighting and just really kind of cool practical effects in a theater kind of setting. This show we saw, I think, took a lot of that stuff like kind of to the next level. Like it had a lot of like nods to Stop Making Sense, like,
sure,
some of the lighting effects, like with the low can lights that create these huge shadows on the wall and all of that kind of stuff. But I feel like it was sort of like an escalation of the ideas that he had on Stop Making Sense. And I really hope that somebody filmed that because they've been on tour for so long. I can't imagine that they didn't do a really good, high quality.
Well, that's movie what I told Emily right after. I was like, somebody, please tell me that this is also going to be a concert film and like the next great concert film from David Byrne.
Yeah. I mean, how would you describe it, Chuck?
Well, here's the deal. Let's just back up a sec. First of all, we both had great seats. You and Ramsey were what, like fifth row behind the little pit
sixth
area?
Sixth row or something like that. Yeah, to the side.
When I logged on to Ticketmaster to get tickets, like I always do, when I can, I log in right at, you know, 9:58, and I'm waiting, and right at 10 o'clock, I try and get tickets. Sometimes I get completely shut out and don't get tickets at all. This time, I got literally the two best seats, like front row, right in the middle. It just popped up, and I was like, wow, that's never happened to me in my life. So it was an interesting experience on the front row. I talked to you a little bit about it. I think, like, ideally, your seats between 5 and 15 rows is kind of the best, because you get that full stage picture and that perspective. But first row is interesting to do every now and then, because there is an intensity to feeling the drums in your, like, literally moving your face when they're right in front of you. At one point, he literally locked eyes with Emily and kind of cracked a laugh and smile during a serious sort of dance party. He was all serious.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked right at her and I went, did you just? And she went, we just had a moment.
Oh, my God.
And then at the end of the show, they were doing the great protest song from Janelle Monáe, Say Their Names.
Say Their Names, yeah.
Very powerful moment. Audience is all into it. And in Atlanta, of course, there is this redneck who, in a sad show of defiance, stomps out right past me at the end. Sets his full draft beer on stage right in front of David Byrne and leaves.
Well, that guy's a sucker, because that beer was like $15.
Well, that too.
So.
And this is a guy who had been taking pictures and having fun, but no, if you're protesting police brutality, he's fucking out of there.
Mm-hmm.
So yep. They look at me, and I look at them on the stage. They're performing. And the lead guitar player, Angie Swan, gives me a little nod. I immediately grab the beer and put it down. And she and the lady from Tune Yards, who was up there with them at the end, mouth thank you to me as they're singing. And it was just like,
oh, man.
It was just one of those things, man.
You know what's funny is another buddy of ours who we work with, Alex Williams, he was there. And he was up in the balcony with his dad, and he saw that moment go down. He described it to
no
me.
No shit.
He said he saw you doing
oh,
that.
Oh, he knew it was me?
He knew it was you. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, that's funny. I got to go talk to him.
Yeah.
So anyway, just let's quickly describe the setup for people who were not lucky enough to go to the Utopia Tour. What was the central sort of magic trick of this show, Noel?
Well, it's like, so there's 13 people, I want to say, on stage.
12.
12. Is that including David?
Yes, okay, because 12. You have to have six on one side and six
that's
on the other.
Right.
It's that, all very balanced.
Very perfectly symmetrical.
Yeah.
So it's like a marching band. Instead of a drum kit, you've got like a guy playing a snare drum and a guy playing with a rack of like percussion toys and like cowbells and wood blocks and stuff. Then you got a guy with a bass drum who only plays the bass drum parts. But between them, you have this incredibly elaborate drum setup.
Yeah,
and these guys are all like
six dudes.
Seasoned. Yeah. Some of them I think were Brazilian, actually. A couple of them were. And just seasoned pros, percussion geniuses. Then you got like a bass player, guitar player, some guys playing like a talking drum, and then they're like
synth.
Yes, a synth player, like one guy with like a little portable synth, and they all have their instruments strapped to them, and they're completely untethered and mobile, and passing in and out from each other, like doing all
so
these.
So there's nothing on stage. I don't think that's clear. The stage was surrounded on three sides by 50-foot
kind of beaded
chains. They were silver chains.
Oh, they were? Okay. I couldn't tell from
yeah, and that's all. And the stage, they rolled out. I thought they painted the stage, but they rolled out a very light gray like linoleum or something. So it was just this monochromatic silvery white, and there are no speakers, no microphones that you can see, no equipment, no stands, nothing but people wearing their instruments.
Yeah.
It's a digital age show, basically.
Yeah, and they have no shoes on.
Yeah, they're all barefoot.
They're all singing.
Like, they're so all matching in gray suits.
They're all matching in gray suits, but they all sang. So anytime there had to be these big like choral moments, everyone would be singing, and it was so great. And you know, every song had kind of like some kind of like theatrical conceit. Like there's one where he's sort of like singing to this television that's on the wall. It's like this kind of like weird blue vacuum tube looking thing. And I don't know, man. It was just kind of like somewhere between theater, performance art and like the best rock show you've ever been to.
Yeah, and like Broadway.
Yeah.
It was all right there.
Mm-hmm.
He, Stop Making Sense, he begins the show alone and on stage, sitting at a desk, singing to a large brain prop.
Yeah.
And one by one. And if you knew nothing about the show and you were just there watching it unfold, one by one, these people come through the chains wearing their shit. And it dawns on you, like, this is the show.
Yeah.
We're not going to see equipment. We're just going to see this highly choreographed art experience. And David Byrne in his mid-60s, dude, bringing this type of creativity is just mind-blowingly inspiring.
Oh, man. It's like he's – what? How old is he?
He's in his mid-60s, dude, and he sounds amazing. He looked great. And just like he's one of the great American treasures.
Yeah, I agree. And honestly, his voice sounds better than it ever has. His energy level was through the roof.
Oh, man.
And just the whole design of the show and everything about it was just – every sound you heard came from those players on stage. And he makes a point of stopping the show midway through and kind of like – proving that that's the case by building a song one piece at a time with all these guys and women, a huge, huge, huge band, very diverse.
Yeah,
all over the world.
It's wonderful. I got the only guitar pick, I think, of the night. At the very end, Angie Swan, his guitar player, who just shreds, she tossed the pick up and the lights went out. The second she did that and the lights came back up, it was like a blink. And I think I was the only person who saw it, and I was immediately looking, and it was just sitting on the floor in front of this guy next to me, snatched it up. It said David Byrne on one side, Angie Swan on the other.
Aw.
And Emily was like, where'd you get that? I was like, she threw it. No one else noticed. And, man, it was just really something else. I would – that's the kind of show you're like, you're mad that you can't see it again like three or four more times.
Yeah, or like
For the first time.
For the first time again. Yeah, no, it was pretty special. Definitely top three for me. So good.
Easy.
That it's worth discussing here on a movie-related podcast.
Well, you know, again, he has one of the great movie concert documentaries of all time under his belt.
Right.
That's just Utopia Tour has got to be number two.
I mean, I think it's better. I think in some ways, you know, it had all of the same like energy and like creativity as Stop Making Sense, but it honestly took it to the next logical place.
Yeah.
It made it more theatrical, but not in like a pretentious, annoying way. It's just full of like fun and joy and kind of like,
man.
Oh, man.
I needed it.
Yeah, me too.
It was amazing. I can't imagine he can top this. What do you do after that?
I don't know, man. Probably don't tour for a very long time.
All right. Maybe, you know what I'll do? I took some great front row picks. They said no cameras, and I am not a camera at concert guy.
They said no cameras?
Yeah.
Everyone had their cameras.
I know.
Up.
But here's the deal. When I see that request, I really try to abide. But here's what I did. I waited till I knew that they could not see me, because what I definitely didn't want to do was be on the front row and have David Byrne like looking at me taking a photo. So the one part where they had that big, they wheeled out that huge spotlight in their face.
Yeah.
They couldn't see anything. So I took a few great pictures there. And then I just waited till like no one was around and tried to be tasteful with my opportunities.
Yeah.
So I'll post some of those on the Movie Crush page. Such a fun night. I thought during Once in a Lifetime, I literally thought I was on ecstasy.
Oh, yeah.
And I wasn't.
Yeah. There were a couple moments.
It was so like overwhelming. Like,
oh, big time.
I was crying, but not crying. There was just like water coming out of my eyes from exuberance over art.
Yeah. I was just kind of like, I'm making a big, big face right now. Just a big, happy fucking face.
Yeah. Oh, man. We had so much fun. I'm going to go over to the Movie Crushers page because our buddy Gabriel Cortez actually posted a really great social studies post. And I'm just going to read that. He says this: forget favorites. What movies have you seen the most? I'd love some honesty here. The more embarrassing, the better. And so here we go. And Gabriel Cortez says Ghostbusters 2. He said an uncle bootlegged it for me when I was a kid. And I guess you just saw it over and over and over. Our buddy Lisa Teixeira. Hey, Lisa. She says Mean Girls, Princess Diaries, Dodgeball, and The Nightmare Before Christmas. Greta Koenig says Mean Girls. Another Mean Girls. 10 Things I Hate About You, Wedding Singer, Star Wars, Bridget Jones. Mark Palumbo, Home Alone, Raiders of the Lost Ark. Boy, these movies, I mean, you can just watch a lot of these over and over. What movie have you seen the most, do you think?
I am not a particular rewatcher.
Oh, yeah.
But, I don't know. That's hard. Like, I mean, back in the day, I would watch, like, Fight Club a bunch. I really like that.
Sure.
And, like, Platoon. I like Platoon a lot.
All right.
Those are, yeah, a couple that I used to watch over and over again.
Regina Bringus says, Stand and Deliver. She shows it to her school classes. That's great. Adam Pelletier says, every Harry Potter movie. So, Noel, is that your online name?
That is my online alter ego. That's my username in Pottermore.
Chan Prasado says, Major League 1 and 2 way too many times. And Goodfellas is very high on the list, too. Carrie McQuaid says, A Fish Called Wanda, Sleepless in Seattle. Sarah Stapleton says, Jurassic Park, Princess Bride, Coming to America, Dazed and Confused, Mean Girls. Mean Girls get a lot of love. Ciara Sherry, Pacific Rim. Wow.
Oh, I have a better answer. Any of the Monty Python movies. Those are okay. Infinitely rewatchable to me.
Yeah.
Especially Meaning of Life and Holy Grail.
Yes, agreed. Let me see here. Michael Griffith, all the Harry Potters, dozens of times. Brent Watson, Back to the Future. Darlene George, Dirty Dancing. Emily has seen that movie a lot. Nicholas Sundheimer, A Christmas Story. I legit watch it at least 5 times a year before Christmas Eve. And it's always on in the background during the 24-hour viewing. Jimmy Mallory says Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 more than any movie ever. Interesting. Oh, well, he is a 4-year-old. He used to watch it every day. 4 years old? All right.
That movie's a little intense for a 4-year-old.
Hey, man.
Hey.
Not judging.
No,
not at all. Jimmy does what Jimmy wants.
It's true. I should be on a shirt.
Paul Manjurids. Frozen? Maybe 40 times?
I did see Frozen quite a lot, and I enjoyed it every single time.
I haven't showed that to Ruby yet.
Oh, it's great.
I'm sure she'd dig it.
Yeah, she'll love the snowman. What's his name?
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Fuck. Oh, God, how can I not remember the snowman's name?
Snowy?
No.
Frozy.
It's like Klaus or something. I don't know.
Klausy?
No, it's not it.
Klausy the Froze guy?
There you go. Olaf. Olaf is his name. Olaf.
Okay.
I've forgotten that.
Let me see here. David Gooch, the Gooch, says, all the Lord of the Rings movies, maybe Minority Report. Karen Patrick says, Navy SEALs in the hundreds? Wow. No. I challenge that. I'm throwing a flag.
What even is that?
Well, it's a movie. I've heard of it, but Karen, have you really seen that movie over 100 times?
Is it an 80s movie? Early 90s, maybe?
I don't know. But I like it. She says this. No explanation other than I just really like cheese. Next to Star Wars, probably also in the hundreds for regular reasons.
Oh, yeah. Charlie Sheen's in it. It's from 1990.
Oh, one of the spoof movies? Or
no.
It's a real movie.
It's called Navy SEALs, and it's got Charlie Sheen and who else?
I think I know that movie.
Bill Paxton is in it.
Oh, wait. I've seen that 100 times, too. I know that movie.
And yet you remember nothing about it.
Chad Burnt says School Ties and Shawshank. Brandy Elena says Dirty Dancing, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, Cruel Intentions, Goodwill Hunting and the Italian Job. Let me do a couple more here. Jason Devonshire, Sunday Too Far Away. I don't know that movie. I'm going to have to check that out. Don Morris. Hi, Don. We got cable for the first time when I was 10. I swear I watched On Golden Pond no less than 40 times. Don, you and me both. It's funny to think about it, but I was a little 10 or 11-year-old watching On Golden Pond as well, which was funny because it's just a very adult movie, not an adult film.
No, but isn't it about like love triangles?
No, it's about this fractured relationship of a woman and her dying old father and mother and this vacation house in like Maine or someplace that they go to. It's like a deep family drama starring the Fondas.
Is it like the Thornbirds?
No.
Remember that? That was like a made-for-TV. Wasn't that a made-for-TV movie?
Yeah. They used to call those miniseries.
That's the one. Yeah, it was a miniseries.
Now they just call those, whatever, Netflix shows. But yeah, and Golden Pond was not a movie like 10 or 11-year-olds should have been super into. And apparently Don and I were parking our cars in the same garage.
I think the Thornbirds was pretty steamy.
I think so. Was that Richard Chamberlain?
It is.
He was king of the miniseries.
It is Richard Chamberlain and Barbara Stanwyck and Christopher Plummer. And the tagline is love, unattainable, forbidden forever. The Thornbirds.
I love it. He was also in Shogun, Richard Chamberlain. Where did he go? All right, couple more. Anka M. says Dumb and Dumber and Amelie. Great movie. All right, and we'll finish up with Megan and Nicole with How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. A lot of people like that movie.
I don't know that one.
I think that
it's it's a rom-com, I assume.
Yeah, it was McConaughey and Goldie Hawn's kid. What's her name? Kate Hudson. I saw it. It was silly and fun. I get that's kind of movie you do watch a bunch because it's on and not particularly offensive. So thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll see you next week, right, Noel?
I guess.